I want to call your attention to two short passages from Isaiah and from Luke. This Isaiah passage comes right after those moving words. Remember, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And then this very, very next chapter says these kind words: do not fear. I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And then Jesus is talking to his followers when he says this: do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Those two phrases, almost 800 years apart in their utterance, but so similar in their intention. Fear not, I am with you. Do not be afraid, little flock. In Isaiah's time, Israel had fallen away from God. Her kings were malicious, ruthless rulers. Her outside enemies would conquer her completely within two generations. And Israel, for all practical purposes, would cease to exist at that time. Jesus found Jerusalem in similar circumstance. Within a generation of these words being uttered, Rome would once again destroy Jerusalem. And yet these two prophets, Isaiah and Jesus, yes, Jesus was a prophet, they extolled their war-ravaged people to fear not, God is with them. Jerusalem existed in fearful times, both in the time of Isaiah and in the time of Jesus. Question: are we living in fearful times today? What do you think? Again, never a rhetorical question. Are we? No. And I wrote these words before the awful events of this Saturday. The murder of 11 Jews in a synagogue in Pittsburgh. The Anti-Defamation League has chronicled a 57% increase in anti-Semitic incidents in 2017. I'm sure that 2018 will show the same. Are we living in fearful times today? If you watch TV, the political landscape is dominated by fear-based advertising. And I'm not picking on just one side here. It's only been one news cycle since the front page news was of a Florida man mailing pipe bombs to two former presidents and at least 10 other prominent figures. Are we living in fearful times? You know, one thing, and I've been talking with Jan about it and with our board, and we need to make sure our own house of worship is more secure. I hate to utter those words. The man who worshiped with us 2 weeks ago and sat right there caused me to be concerned because of the vitriol on the back of his t-shirt. Are we living in fearful times? You betcha. Question, are they more fearful than other decades, other centuries? Oh, I want you to think back. I want you to think back to the 60s through the 70s, the riots. Political conventions were literally torn apart in riot. Los Angeles experienced riots that were, to use a much abused word this day, unprecedented. I remember when I was in grade school in the 50s, and one of our exercises was to hide from an atomic bomb under our desk. Did anyone else do that in the 50s? And I wasn't the brightest bulb in the room, but even I, a 10-year-old, said, "This is not going to help." Riots, the Cold Wars, the 30s and 40s. Fascism turning into Nazism. The Great Depression. Those were fearful times for other reasons. World War I, the Civil War. I can offer you convincing evidence that the world has been a scary place from the get-go. Biblically, it began with Cain and Abel, didn't it? It would be understandable if fear were the default position for the human species. Wouldn't it, really? Not just now, but all the time. That would be understandable. And yet, one voice that you and I treasure above all others tells us, "Do not be afraid, little flock." And in another place tells us, "Take heart, it is I, have no fear." FDR was right. I think it was FDR, didn't he say those words? "We have nothing to fear, but fear itself." I got to work on that. Oh, if you didn't hear, not bad for a Lubbock boy. Thank you, ma'am. So let's not be afraid of fear. And I've got several points here that I think are relatively good sermon points that I have in front of me, because the first thing I did when I hit here 8:30 this morning was bring my sermon up here and put it on the pulpit. Go ahead and get your snickering out of the way. We know that fear is a good teacher, don't we? We know that fear is a good teacher. We learn most of our lessons in life, at least partially, by fear. Fear heightens our awareness and focuses our attention like nothing else. Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's looking down in a deep hole. And he has a lighted torch, and he lets it drop into the deep hole. And he sees that the whole floor of that deep hole is alive. And he utters the word, snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? Think of your own pet fear. Or how about Ronald Weasley in Harry Potter? Hagrid is wanting them to do something for them. And he tells them, if you're going to get there, you must follow the spiders. And Ronald says, why did it have to be spiders? Why couldn't he have said, follow the butterflies? Fear heightens our awareness, focuses our attention like nothing else. And yes, fear can move us to action. Sometimes, in spite of our fear, but it can move us to necessary action. Ronald and Harry followed the spiders. And one thing fear can do, fear can bring us together. We must not let fear separate us. Those things that we should be afraid of, and there's a whole catalog I won't go into, but those things need to bring us together, not separate us into warring groups. But we do need to sort out our rational fears from our irrational fears. I'll let you do your own mental math about what those are. But that's why we are here, to battle our fears with the courage of Christ. That's why we're here. The fear of loneliness, the fear of neglect, the fear of meaninglessness, the fear of lost opportunity, and the fear of death. Those are the fears that in the end we need to deal with. And this is the place. The words of the rabbi from Nazareth ring down the centuries. Take heart, it is I. Have no fear. Amen.